Hi, this is Dr. Linda Travolute, and I'm so glad that you've got this audio in your hands because I know, listen to me, I know this is going to boost your prayers and help you get some great results. Now, I need you to know that this is a part of Prayer Rocket Academy, so the audio that you're listening to right now was originally created to be a part of that program. After the program was completed, and I will say that the program has 10 pieces to it, 10 audio components, and after I completed that program, I decided to make each of the components available on its own. So that's what you have here. This is a standalone audio component, but as you listen to it, I need you to know that you're going to hear about a workbook. So when I refer to the workbook, I don't want you to be in the dark. The workbook came with the original program, Prayer Rocket Academy, but I'm going to put that workbook in your hands for free. So I'm going to give that to you as a bonus. If you have this audio, you can go to my website at lindatravolute.com and click on the resource tab where you can download the bonus material for this audio. Just look for the audio title, and you'll have an opportunity to download that workbook section for free. And you can either use it on a tablet such as your iPad or your iPhone, or you can even print it out so that you can write on it if you prefer hard copy paper. But if you're good with the digital product, you can use a program like Adobe or Goodreader, any kind of a PDF reader to put notes on it and really make good use of that workbook section, because it's going to help you put into practice the things that you hear on this audio. Okay, so here we're going to get started. Buckle up. Welcome once again to Prayer Rocket Academy. And in this audio, we are going to be talking about one of the foundations that Prayer Rocket Academy is built on. We're going to be talking about how you can discover the edge that you have with God's Word, and how we can take God's Word and use it to pray razor-sharp prayers. Now, if you've heard me speak at a conference or a church service, you may have heard a little bit of what I'm going to share with you in this audio component. You may have even heard some bits and pieces of it on my podcast. But that's good, because again, we need to be reminded of foundational truths so that they stick in our minds. So my theory is the more you hear something that is important, the greater chance you have of it really being cemented in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit. And that's what we want to do with this content. We want to get this in your soul, in your spirit, because this will change the way you pray. Okay? Let me kick this off with a story about New York. New York. I lived in New York when I was a kid and was very thankful for my childhood. We lived on Long Island and we would go to New York City every once in a while. But you know, New Yorkers are a different breed. If you know of anybody from New York, or maybe you've lived in New York, you've had that very special opportunity to live up north in the United States, especially in that area, you know that there's just a different mentality in New York. In other words, you don't mess with a New Yorker, okay? Now, there's this kid who lived across the street from our house, and he was older than me, and he was, well, let's just say he was kind of like the neighborhood bully, and his name was Kenny. And Kenny was just a pure punk. He tried to bully everybody in the neighborhood. Kenny used to say mean things, nasty things to people, you know, just to kind of get them stirred up and get their goat. Well, one day he tried to mess with the wrong kid, me. Okay? Now, Kenny was older than me, and Kenny was bigger than me, but Kenny was not mightier than me. You want to know why? Because I knew how to fight. Okay? I knew how to fight. Now, I want to ask you, if you would admit with me, if you were in a fight and someone was going to get their butt kicked. You'd rather be the butt kicker. Isn't that right? I'm sure you're shaking your head yes. So if you were in a fight and you saw a sword laying there close enough for you to grab, close enough for you to just reach out and take it, would you pick it up? Seriously, would you pick it up? If you were fighting for your life and duking it out, would you pick up a sword? Of course you would. Sharp. Yes again, right? Okay, the Bible tells us that it is a weapon that is not only sharp, but sharper than a two-edged sword. And it is right there for the taking. Hebrews 4:12 from the New Living Translation says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword." This verse actually shows us that we can fight off the problems in our lives with God's word. The Bible is a weapon of mass destruction, and we have it at our disposal. So you do have an edge, and it's a sharp one. You can kick the enemy's butt. You can use it to kick your circumstances to the curb. You can kick sickness to the curb. You can kick relationship problems to the curb. You can kick financial lack to the curb. You can kick addictions. You can kick identity issues. You name it. Do I have your attention? I sure hope so. We're going to discover the edge that you have today, and we're going to have to do it by making sure that you believe the word in order to fight with it, okay? You can't fight with a weapon that you have no faith in. So, you know, some people don't know how to believe in what God says. So we're going to address that first, okay? In order to use the word as a weapon, you have to believe what it says, okay? Now, some people say that's hard. And yes, it is, you know. You look at your circumstances and it's hard sometimes to believe the promises of God. It's hard to believe that what the Bible says is true. But I want to encourage you to quit whining, right? I'm going to show you how you can believe. We're going to do it right now, okay? So let me get into what I call mommy mode, all right? Because I'm going to tell you a story about my daughter. When she was a real little girl, I was looking for a way to explain the amount of love that I had in my heart for her. So I was tucking her into bed one night, and I whispered to her. I said, "Tiffany, do you know how much I love you?" And she said, "How much, Mommy?" And I wrapped my arms around her, and I said, "Listen, Tiff, I love you to the moon and back." And her little eyes brightened, and she said, "Really? Wow, that's a lot of love." So as the years passed, I'd constantly ask her, "Tiff, do you know how much I love you?" And she'd smile and she'd say, "To the moon and back." And then I would add something to that. I'd say, "Yeah, I love you to the moon and back and back and back." And she'd say, "Wow, Mom, that's so much love." And you know, it was the coolest thing knowing that my daughter would go off to sleep every night savoring that nugget of truth. She'd be thinking about it and mulling it over in her little girl's mind. And when I'd go out of town on business, I'd call her on the phone right before bedtime. And before we'd hang up, I'd always say, "Tiff, do you know how much I love you?" And she would so confidently say, "Yes, Mom, you love me to the moon and back and back and back." Amazed that she was so wrapped up, so secure in my love, I asked her, "Well, how do you know, Tiffany? How do you know that I love you that much?" And she said, "Mom, because I heard you say it. So I know. I know that you love me that much." Wow, that's incredible. So how is it that my teenage daughter right now, she's 16, at the time of this recording, she's 16. So how is it that she's so confident and secure in her mom's love? Well, it's because from the first time she heard me say it, she listened. She had her ears wide open. She took it in and she received it. She'd think about it She'd revisit it. She'd say it. She'd repeat it until she had great trust and belief in it. Now, you know, it dawned me one time that there was a formula here in learning how to believe in something. And then I found it confirmed in God's word in Proverbs 22:17. The steps go like this, and I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Version. Again, this is Proverbs 22:17, so if you want to write that down and look at it later, or go grab your Bible right now, you can read it with me. It says, listen, consent and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them. Your lips will be accustomed to confessing them, so that your trust, belief, reliance, support, and confidence may be in the Lord. Oh, that's a powerful scripture. So if we unpack this scripture and we look at it and we take it apart piece by piece, it says, first of all, listen, hear what God says about you. Secondly, it says, think about his words of wisdom, so you turn it over and over again in your mind. Third, it says, then you will begin to believe. You listen and think about it, and then you will begin to believe. Okay, and the fourth thing, then you speak them. Your lips, it says your lips get accustomed to confessing them, speaking them out loud. Wow, there you go. You begin to trust what God says about you in your life when you do this. You grow more and more confident in what he says about you, and it makes you a believer. So, here's something I want to help you remember. If you will take the word of God and read it, and then speak it, you will believe it. Okay? Read it, speak it, believe it. Say that with me. Say it out loud. Read it. Speak it, believe it. Okay? Keep that phrase in your mind, because that's going to help you. That's a foundational truth that we're going to work with during Prayer Rocket Academy. This is part of the framework of this program, okay? Read it, speak it, and then you will believe it. And the reason this works is because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. Okay? Now you can't hear scripture unless you speak it. So the more you speak scripture, the more you will hear it. And the more you hear it, the more you will believe it. Okay? I hope that's all coming together for you. I have a son who's 19, and he's a real tall guy. He's 6'4", and he wears like a size 14 shoe. He's a basketball player. And, you know, Mr. Tough Guy, but he's so sweet. Every time we talk on the phone, regardless of whether he's with his friends or, you know, whomever, he hangs up, but before he does, he says, Mom, I love you. Now, that makes my heart melt, you know, as a mom, right? To hear your 19-year-old son say, Mom, I love you. Now, here's the thing. I know Tyler loves me, but when Tyler says he loves me, it makes it more real. When I hear him say it, it makes it more believable. It makes it tangible. So if you want to believe God's promises more fully, if you're having a tough time believing what God's word says, especially when your circumstances seem different right now, I want to encourage you, speak God's word. Speak the promises in the word. And as you speak them, you will hear them. You will hear yourself speaking them, and they will become more real to you. That's why speaking God's word makes it more tangible, and it increases our faith. And that's pretty important when you want to pray. You need faith, right? So this is going to help you get the edge. Read it, speak it, believe it. Okay? So now that we've got you into believing mode, we can also get you into fighting mode. Okay, you ready to get into fighting mode? We're going to grab that sword and discover why it is such a great weapon. Okay? Ephesians 6:17 from the New Living Translation talks about the spiritual weapons that we have. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? Now, looking again at the scripture that we started with, which was Hebrews 4:12a, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword." Now, let me explain why the Word is a two-edged sword. The phrase two-edged is taken from a compound word in the Greek, which means two-mouthed. Now, that sounds a little strange, right? Two-mouthed. So why does the Bible refer to the Word of God as a two-edged sword, or literally a two-mouthed sword, like the sword has two mouths? Okay, now follow me here. Ephesians 6:17 says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, a word is something that is spoken. First, that word came out of the mouth of God, and it was written down in the Bible. So God's is the first mouth that it came out of. That's the first edge on the sword. Okay? The second edge of the sword is added when the Word of God comes out of your mouth. Because now it has come out of two mouths. First God's, then yours. Now it is a two-mouthed sword. The moment it comes out of your mouth, a second edge is added to the blade. And there is nothing more powerful than a word that comes first from God's mouth and then from your mouth. And that gives you the extra edge. This is how you do it. You read it and then you speak it. That is powerful. So when you're confronted by a challenge or a problem, the Holy Spirit will reach down into the reservoir of God's word that you've stashed away there inside of you. And it'll pull up that exact scripture that you need for that moment. I was speaking at a women's conference, and I was, this was years ago, I was sick. Man, I was just sick as a dog. Okay, I had a cold, I couldn't breathe, my nose was running like a faucet, it was all red, I was just miserable. And I was supposed to speak and do like a 45-minute session. And I got up that morning, I was in my hotel room, and I looked in the mirror, and I just started to whine and complain. Because I was so weak, I was tired, I'd been at the conference all weekend. But then you know what? Something rose up inside of me, and a scripture came to my mind. It was Philippians 4:13. And I said it out loud, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And I'm telling you, when I spoke that scripture out loud, something happened. A second edge was added to my sword. Because I was repeating something that God had already said. It came out of a second mouth, my mouth. And you know, that's a favorite scripture around our house. Years ago, my daughter had to make cookies for school. But she forgot to tell me about it until 10 minutes before we were about to leave. And you know, I was frustrated with her. I admit it. I looked at her with fire in my eyes and I said, "Tiff, look at what time it is. You don't have time to make cookies. You're going to have to go to school without the cookies because we're leaving in 10 minutes. And you know what? She looked up at me with her little 10-year-old determination, all that she could muster. And she said, I will never forget this. She looked at me and she said very boldly, "Mom, I can do all things through Christ. Watch me make them cookies." And you know what? She made those cookies. Okay, now get this. I don't know how she did it, because normally it takes at least 10 minutes for the oven to warm up and 10 minutes for the cookies to bake. And then she had to get them on a plate and wrap them up. Okay, I can't figure out how she pulled that off, but she had an extra edge that day. She quoted God's word back to her situation. So it came out of God's mouth first. She took the word and it came out of her mouth, and that gave her the extra edge to fight with. So you've got to read it and speak it. Now look, the Holy Spirit can't pull scripture up out of your spirit if you haven't put it in there to begin with. So if you want to get this extra edge working in your life, you've got to read the word and stash it away in your heart. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by just, you know, thinking, oh, the Bible's such a great book. No, you've got to get it in your face, and you've got to get it in your head so it'll get into your heart. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. It's not that hard to do. You know, as a kid, I discovered how reading something over and over again would get it to stick in my head. I used to eat Pop-Tarts every morning for breakfast until I smartened up, right? I don't eat Pop-Tarts anymore, nor do I let my kids eat them because they are like a void of any nutrients. But I would fix my Pop-Tarts and place the Pop-Tart box on the table in front of me. And so I would read the box as I ate. You know, some people read the newspaper. I read the Pop-Tart box, okay? Over time, I memorized everything that was on that label. You know, it's fortified with 8 vitamins and minerals, and I could just go on and tell you what was in those Pop-Tarts on that box. The crazy thing is, 35 years later, I can still recite what was on that Pop-Tart box. Now, how could I have memorized that? I'll tell you why. Because it was in front of me. It was in front of me. So here's something else I learned as a kid. I can tell you that a Big Mac is made of 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles on a sesame seed bun. Now, why in the world would I memorize what's on a McDonald's Big Mac? Why? Because when I was a kid, it was in my face every time I turned on the TV. McDonald's armed me with information. Their commercials were on every time I was watching cartoons, every time I would watch my after-school specials, you know, Schoolhouse Rock, all that stuff. All right, so as a kid, that stuff was in my face over and over and over and over again. And so today, I can still remember what I watched. I'm sure you can too. If you think back to stuff that you've watched as a kid, you know, if you watched reruns of Scooby-Doo or, you know, whatever, Brady Bunch or whatever, you can remember how those sitcoms went, the storylines, and you can tell, you know, like what, maybe you've watched a movie a handful of times. Maybe you've watched Rocky, you know, that's a movie that's been out for a long time, right? You've seen it maybe 10 times and you've pretty much memorized all the lines. Well, why is that? Because you've had it in front of you over and over and over again. And so if you've had trouble memorizing scripture in the past, all that's going to change. Because right here's the secret. You can do the same thing with scripture if you will put it in your face every day. You know, read the word so that you can get it stuck in your head, so that at a moment's notice when you need it, it's there for the taking. That's going to give you the extra edge. So then not only will you be armed, but you're going to be armed and dangerous. Yeah. When I was a college student going to Southeastern University, this was for my undergraduate work, I would drive back and forth to Lakeland every day to go to classes. And in the middle of summer, in Florida, the temperatures reach about 100 degrees. And the air conditioning on my car went out. And man, that was difficult. You know, money was tight. I didn't have the money to get it fixed. So I prayed. I prayed for my air conditioning. Now that might sound silly, but I spoke the word of God over it. I remember clear as day, I was driving down a dusty road in the middle of summer. And I was on my way home. I had just finished my classes for the day. And I was so hot. I had sweat pouring down my face. And because I was on a dirt road with the windows rolled down, the dirt and the dust was flying into my car, sticking to my face that was all sweaty. I had my makeup and mascara running down my face. And I just felt yucky. And I said, God, you know what? Your word says that if I seek your kingdom, the things that I need will be given to me. Nothing is impossible for you. So I know if you can heal bodies, I believe you can heal cars too. So please, right now, I declare, make this air conditioner work in Jesus' name. You know, those were scriptures that I wrapped into a prayer. So I kept my hand out in front of that air vent, kind of like I was laying hands on it. And moments later, I am not joking, cool air started coming out of those vents. Yes. So how was it that I was able to pull that scripture up out of my spirit or out of my head? It's because every day I read my Bible. I had made a habit since I was in middle school, had a habit of getting into the Word every day, putting God's Word in my head and in my heart. And that's what happens when you get in the Word, when you get the Word in your face every day, when you need it, when you need to grab a scripture to encourage you, or when you need a scripture to pray or just to declare, it'll just spring up out of your head or spring up out of your heart and out of your mouth. And that will give you the edge to fight your battles. I heard this story of a guy who was staying at his friend's house. And the first night he slept at his friend's house, the house phone woke him up at 5 a.m. It rang and it rang and it rang. And he began to count the rings. 30 rings, 40 rings, 45 rings. Finally, on the 50th ring, he got up. He put on his clothes and he walked out of his room down the hallway to the kitchen. He was mumbling to himself and he said, "If no one cares enough to get up and answer this telephone, I will." So he picked up the receiver and he said, "Hello." But crazy enough, the phone kept on ringing, even though he was holding the receiver in his hand. And then he noticed that the ringing wasn't coming from the telephone at all, but something in the corner that was covered with this big white sheet. So he pulled the sheet back to look, and there in this big cage was a gray African parrot looking back at him. It had been mimicking the sound of the telephone. That parrot sounded just like a telephone, but it was not a telephone. The parrot sounded like a phone ringing because he had spent time with the telephone. He learned how to replicate the sound of the phone. We could say that that parrot learned how to speak phonese, you know? We have to learn how to speak Godese. Now, no disrespect, but what I'm trying to say is we have to figure out how to sound like God. And how do we do that? By parroting him. Read the word and speak the word just like he did. The Bible says to hide God's word in your heart, to conceal it. That's what we want to do. We want to tuck it deep down inside of our heart so that we can use it as a weapon. You know, you have this two-edged sword at your disposal, but you may not be using it. You might be fighting through the problems and the tough stuff of your life, and it's laying right there, but you're not using it. And I want to encourage you, pick it up. That sword is there for you. It was written for you. It is there so that you can have the edge in every area of your life. Get the edge. Grab it. There's a precious lady in our church who told me one time about a family member who was slamming her on Facebook. And she was saying stuff about her that wasn't true, and it was out there on Facebook for everyone to see. And when she told me about it, I said, "You know what? Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. You speak Isaiah 54:17 over yourself and watch that situation change." In fact, I said, "Say it like this: No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, I shall show to be in the wrong." And guess what? When she added the extra edge to that situation, it cut that situation to pieces. Her family member shut up, and her reputation was restored. That family member even deleted all those nasty things that she had written about her on Facebook. Look, I'm telling you, the word is like medicine that has to be applied. And it has to be applied the right way. A couple of years ago, on Easter weekend, I had an accident that crushed my big toe. We were on the beach with my family, my son and my daughter and my husband. We were playing football. And I had just had a pedicure. Okay, so this is Easter weekend. I wanted my toes to look all pretty, right? I wanted my pedicure to stay nice for Easter Sunday. We were having a big thing at church, and we were going to have over 9,000 people with us for our Easter services, and I wanted my toes to look nice, right? My cute little sandals. So I told my family, listen, be careful and don't step on my toes when we're playing football. But I did something really stupid. I chose to play football barefoot in the sand. Now, that wasn't smart on my part, okay? Like I told you, my son, who is 6'4", he wears, you know, a 14, 15 shoe, he collided with me. And somehow my toes were crushed and broken. I think he stepped on me. And the toenail was lifted off. Now, I'm not meaning to gross you out. I hope that doesn't, you know, make you feel faint, right? But how did I treat that crushed, broken toe? I'll tell you, okay? First of all, I was in tremendous pain. But it wouldn't do me any good to take Tylenol, little Tylenol tablets, and place them on the top of my big toe. No, I had to take that Tylenol and pop it in my mouth. You see, when we have a problem, we need to know how to treat it the right way. So if you have a headache, you don't take a Band-Aid and slap it on your head, right? You take pain medicine. So when you have a problem, you have to treat it the right way. So find a scripture for what you're dealing with, whatever your problem is. Take scriptures that deal with that situation and spread them out before you. Read them, speak them, pray them. So if you need help finding scriptures for what you're dealing with, you can even go online to some search engines like Google or Bing or Yahoo. Just type in to the search engine scriptures dealing with healing, or scriptures dealing with jerks at work, scriptures dealing with finances or debt, or, you know, whatever it is that you're in need of. There's some other websites that you can go to, like BibleGateway.com or BlueLetterBible.com, and those are great resources if you don't have a concordance in the back of your Bible, or I know sometimes it's more convenient to use the Bible that you might have on your smartphone or your iPad, or, you know, just use your computer. So take those scriptures and write them down, and then read them. And speak them so that you can apply your word to your specific situation. Okay? Now, some people want to know, do you use scripture every time you pray? Well, no, not every time. You see, we have such a tendency toward extremes, right? But I can tell you this, I've discovered that praying God's word is one of the most powerful ways to pray. It gives you an edge. And Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified says that God is watching over his word to perform it. God is watching over his word to perform it. He's going to perform his word. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. 1 John 5:14-15 in the New Century Version says this, and this is the boldness we have in God's presence, that if we ask God for anything that agrees with what he wants, he hears us. Those are some great scriptures. Maybe you can write those down and look them up later. Let me give them to you again. In fact, I'll have those in your workbook, Jeremiah 1:12. Isaiah 55:10-11, 1 John 5:14-15, and take those scriptures, and I would put them at the front of your journal. Just write them down, because those will encourage you and help you remember how powerful God's word is. So if you're praying God's word, you're praying God's will. One time I was going at it, praying for something, and all of a sudden I thought, whoa, is it okay for me to be praying this? Like, do I have a right to ask for this? But then my mind went back to scriptures that assured me of God's promises, things that he said he would provide for me. And so I straightened up and I said, well, of course I have a right to pray for this. See, reading God's word will help you determine what you can ask for, what you're allowed to ask for. And I want you to know that you can stand on the promises of God. What's a promise? It's someone's word. When you stand on something, you are claiming it. You are saying, I am taking this. This is mine. This is God's word to me. It's his promise. God says I can have this. And you know, you might wonder, can you pray silently? Well, yes, you can pray silently. You can pray inside your head. I pray inside my head all the time. I have this running conversation with God all day long. But I tell you this, when I want something to happen, when I want a mountain to move in my life, I am not shy about it. I will say out loud, I will tell it to move, I will tell it where to go. I know that there's power in praying outside of my head, using my voice, using my mouth. See, Jesus told us how to remove mountains in our lives. He said, tell that mountain to move. Don't just think it. You can't think a mountain out of the way. You have to speak it. You have to talk to it. Tell your mountain where to go. When Jesus created the heavens and the earth, he didn't think it into existence. He spoke it into existence. Speaking it puts it into motion. There is power in the spoken word, especially when you borrow what God has already said and you speak his word. You speak it over your life. You speak it over your situation. You become the second mouth. And as you do, you'll be using the word as a two-edged sword. Isn't that cool? When I'm reading my Bible and I come across a scripture that I can pray over my husband and my kids and myself, my friends, I'm there. I'm reading it and I'm speaking it. In fact, I was reading this one particular passage in Philippians one day, and I just started praying it over my family. I just started to personalize it. In fact, this is the scripture I was praying over them. And this is a scripture that I sometimes pray over different groups of people, like when I go and minister to different churches or conferences, I will take time before the conference to actually take this scripture and personalize it for that group of people, for that church, or for that event. This is Philippians 1:6. And in fact, right now, I'm going to speak it over you, okay? So listen, as I take what God has already written, I'm going to take what has already come out of the mouth of God, and it's going to come out of my mouth, and it's going to give me the edge, and I'm going to pray it over you, okay? It goes like this. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. I speak that over you right now. And I love what Psalm 57:2 says. It says, I will cry out to God Most High, who performs on my behalf and rewards me, who brings to pass his purposes for me and surely completes them. So let me just show you how I'm going to take that and speak that over you right now. Here goes. I will cry out to God Most High, who performs on your behalf and rewards you. The God who will bring to pass his purposes for you and will surely complete them. That's powerful. Here's a scripture that I was reading just yesterday in Ephesians chapter 2. And what I did again was I just personalized it and applied it to the people in my life. I was just going about my morning and I was reading in the Expanded Bible because I love that translation. It's kind of like the Amplified Bible, but it's a little bit more contemporary, but it still shows you the root words and the meaning behind the original text. So I'll read this little passage to you from the Expanded Version, okay? It's Ephesians chapter 2, and it's where Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus. And he says, I have not stopped, never cease, giving thanks to God for you. I always remember you in my prayers, asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you'll know him better. I pray also that you will have greater understanding in your heart, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know and comprehend the hope to which he has called us, and that you will know how rich and glorious are the blessings God has promised, the riches of his glorious inheritance, or the glorious wealth of an inheritance that God possesses, his holy people, the saints. And you will know that God's power is very exceedingly overwhelmingly great for us who believe. Now, what I did was I was reading that and I thought, man, that is an amazing scripture. And so I wanted to pray that over my husband and my kids. And so I just took it and I did this. I just put their names in there. I said, I always remember Ted and Tyler and Tiffany in my prayers. And I am asking God, our Father, to give Ted and Tyler and Tiffany a spirit of wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and revelation so that they will know him better. I pray also that Ted and Tyler and Tiffany will have a greater understanding in their hearts, that the eyes of their understanding, oh, this is beautiful, that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened so that they will know and comprehend the hope to which he has called them, and that Ted and Tyler and Tiffany will know how rich and glorious are the blessings that God has promised them, the riches of his glorious inheritance, the glorious wealth of an inheritance that God possesses, his holy people, his saints, and that they'll know that God's power is very exceedingly, overwhelmingly great for them because they believe. And then I went on, I said, that power is the same as the great strength that God used to raise Christ from the dead and put him at his right side in the heavenly world. God has put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings, and over every other title given, not only in this world, but also in the next. And God put everything under his power and made him the head over everything for the church, which is his body, which is Ted and Tyler and Tiffany, because they are filled with Christ, who fills everything in every way. Isn't that cool? Man, that's powerful. I'll tell you what, my family is going to be blessed from that, because again, I am taking what God has already spoken, his word that came out of his mouth first and it was written down, and then I speak it out loud, audibly, and it puts it into motion. That's beautiful. And that's powerful. So right now, let me give you some examples of some specific scriptures that you can take and pray over some specific situations. Okay, like, for example, if you need courage, what I would encourage you to do is go to your concordance, or again, go to your computer, your search engine, whether that's Google or Bing or Yahoo, whatever, or go to a concordance that you have access to online, and type in the word courage, or type in your search engine, scriptures on courage, and you'll see that a bunch of them pop up. So here's a great scripture. Deuteronomy 31:6. And what I would do is take that scripture and personalize it. So I would say, I am strong and of good courage. I do not fear, nor am I afraid. For the Lord my God, He is the one who goes with me. He will not leave me nor forsake me. Isn't that great? And I'll tell you, as you read that out loud, what's going to happen is you're hearing it and you're going to start to believe it. Okay, so remember our phrase, you're going to read it, speak it, and believe it. As you read it, you're going to speak it out loud, your ears are going to hear it, and it's going to help you believe. It's going to increase your faith. Here's another good one on courage, Joshua 1:9. As I personalize it, it would go like this. I am strong, vigorous, and very courageous. I am not afraid, neither am I dismayed, for the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. Or how about 2 Chronicles 32:7 and 8? I am strong and courageous. I am not afraid or discouraged, because the Lord my God is with me to help me fight my battles. If you're dealing with depression, or maybe someone that you know is dealing with depression, you can speak some of these scriptures right here over them, like Deuteronomy 31:8. Let's personalize it. The Lord goes before me. He will march with me. He will not fail me or let me go or forsake me. I will fear not, neither become broken in spirit, depressed, dismayed, and unnerved with alarm. See, you are taking the word and you are claiming it for yourself. Psalm 3:3 says, God is my shield, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Psalm 34:15 and 17, you could say it like this. The eyes of the Lord are on me, and his ears are open to my cry. When I cry out, the Lord hears and delivers me out of all of my troubles. How about this? Psalm 40:1-3. In fact, right now I'm going to slow this down and I'm going to break this scripture up into little phrases so that you can repeat it after me. Okay? Let's do this together. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He's steadying my steps and establishing my goings, and he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. How's that feel? Do you feel stronger right now? I'm sure you do. Let's do one more. Psalm 42:5 from the Message. So I'm going to slow it down and let you repeat it after me. Why am I down in the dumps? Why am I crying the blues? I fix my eyes on God, and soon I'll be praising again. My God puts a smile on my face. There you go. Maybe today you just need a little determination. So let's look at this scripture, Isaiah 40:31. Repeat it after me. I wait for the Lord. I expect and look for and hope in him. I will change and renew my strength and power. I will lift my wings and mount up close to God like an eagle. I am determined to run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. And I will not become tired. Here's another good one. Colossians 3:2. Let's repeat it together. I set my mind and keep it set on what is above, not on things that are on earth. And here's 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12. Repeat it with me. I make it my ambition and definitely endeavor to live quietly and peacefully, to mind my own affairs, and to work with my hands, so that I may bear myself becomingly and be correct and honorable, and command the respect of the outside world, being dependent on nobody and having need of nothing. That's good stuff. That'll put a charge in your heart, won't it? That'll just, man, that's better than Red Bull. That's better than the best energy drink out there. Better than even a shot of espresso. And you know, I'm a big Starbucks fan, so I love my Starbucks coffee, but the Word of God can give you a jolt like nothing else. So I hope that encourages you. You know, another reason that praying God's word gives us the edge is because it helps us pray God's will. And I know I touched on that just a little bit during this audio component, but let's talk about that just a little bit further, because a prayer that's outside of God's will is not going to be effective. So let me give you an example. A lot of times people will pray prayers that are just based on their emotions. And that's dangerous because our emotions are sometimes whacked. You know how it is sometimes when someone has cheated on you or wronged you or hurt you in some way? You know, praying about a situation like that can be very tricky. Your flesh wants to pray that God will hunt that person down and smack him upside the head. But what you should really ask God to do is show that joker their faults and bring them to apologize and change their ways. And hey, yeah, it might even be good to ask God to help you see if you had any wrong in the matter. The Bible says to pray for our enemies and to bless them. Bless who? Our enemies. Are you out of your mind? Yeah, you would think so, unless you knew better. And so that's not how most people would deal with their enemies. But that's why most people don't have their enemies turn into their friends. See, we've got to pray God's will. And to pray what God wants, not what we want. It's to our advantage if we can wrap our head around it. God's got an edge over you and over me because he knows way more than you and I do. So if you can get to a place where you trust that what God wants is better for you than what you want, look out. He's ready to unload a truck full of answered prayer on you. So the big question is this: how do you know God's will so that you can supercharge your prayers with it, so that you can have the edge? Well, you have to get inside God's head. Yes, get inside God's head. That sounds a little scary, right? Can even sound intimidating, but it's not that hard. God wants to grant you access into his thoughts. And that's why he gave you his thoughts on paper, the Bible. Okay, that's what we've been talking about during this audio. So how do you get inside God's head? You have to get in his word. His word prepares our hearts to pray the powerful and effective prayers that are his will. His word teaches us what to ask for. So if you want to know God's will, you have to get in his word so his thoughts can get inside of you. And when his thoughts get inside of you, you will begin to think like he does. And when you think like he does, you will know how to pray his will. See, God's word trains us to pray. As you read the Bible every day, little by little, your thoughts are going to change. You quit thinking like the rest of the world, and you begin to think more and more like God. I love Romans 12:2. And from the Amplified, it says this: be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So did you catch that last part? It says that you'll be able to prove what the will of God is, what is acceptable and perfect in God's sight for you. How? By renewing your mind with God's word. You know, the Bible mentions Joshua, who was faced with a big challenge. It was his job to get the Israelites into the promised land. So basically, God told Joshua that the only way he would be successful is if he got in his word. So look how God unwrapped it here for Joshua. In Joshua 1:8, it says this: study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Again, that's Joshua 1:8. The Word of God instructs us. It's full of wisdom from God above. And if you really believe that God is smarter than you are or could ever be, you're going to want to tap into that. When you do, you will become smarter in how you pray. The more you're in God's Word, the more your mind will be thinking like His, and the more your prayers will reflect His heart and His will. And then guess what? The more your prayers will be answered. Isn't that cool? So I want to encourage you, make time each day to read God's Word, the Bible, so that you can know how God thinks. His Word will begin shaping your prayers, and it will be as if your prayer is on steroids. It'll give you a surge of power in your prayer life, and you'll also be having that extra sharp edge, because when you pray God's Word, you pray something that first came out of the mouth of God, and then it comes out of your mouth the second time, and that gives you the extra edge. That is some good stuff. So I want to encourage you right now to reach for that workbook, grab it, get into it. It's going to be a blessing to you as you work through the things that we've talked about in this audio component. You're going to be able to work through a lot of the questions and get some practical application so that you can really begin putting into practice what you're learning in Prayer Rocket Academy.